All right, I think we're live. Hey guys, hey everybody, welcome to another edition to Psychic Seer podcast. I got my new shirt up. So I keep changing the title, but it's the same podcast, same content. And so I hope y'all do well. I got both Toms today. My co-host Tom Hayes, did I say that right? I should ask
Yeah, there you go.
before. And then I have the our guest, returning guest actually. He's been on our show before with Anna, the author, and for our night visitants. Welcome to our show, Tom.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's weird I have to say both of your last names as you have a dark blue seat.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah, I'm your host, Nicole Jasper, and yeah, like where we start from the beginning, right? So, so I'll start with Tom Howell's background, or if you want to share a little bit about yourself, we can do it that way.
Okay, well, sure. I have been an electronic technician with first the Navy and then Honeywell for a total of 36, actually for, we add them together, 42 years.
Thank you for your service,
yeah. It was a lot of fun. Even though it was work, it was just fun to me. I maintained my interest in the cosmos and the UFOs from childhood, and then I retired, and after retirement I was looking for something to do, and what I came across was the paranormal field. And I found that very, very interesting. And our paranormal leader was looking for someone to get into UFOs. And I immediately volunteered because of my interest in the cosmos. And I started writing blogs, which were informations about ships that were visiting us. But I thought I'd give it a twist and decided to write about what we would do to go there versus what right. they did to come here.
So, I can stop here right now. Yeah. But before we go any further, I'm going to share a couple of clips. Then we can continue with your stories. I'm sorry. I'm going to do that real play. But we'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Okay.
We're back. I hope you guys don't mind those intros. Mm-hmm. I did play the piano, by the way, so I brought that together.
Oh, cool.
It was very nice.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we might continue where you left off, Tom Pablo.
And thank you.
Tom, feel free to.
Yeah,
all right. So you recorded the one before, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Let's see. where was I? I was, oh yeah, I had just started writing about UFOs and in blogs. And it took quite a bit of time to write the entire subject matter in and around UFOs, how what we would do to get there, which was quite complex. When I realized, when I was done, I had written about 35 to 36 blogs, and some of them were like 6 and 7 pages long. So I realized, geez, I have a book here. You know, and I put everything together within a book, but I didn't do that right away. I did that after I started writing on my own about
that's how I started UFOs, with journals.
Yeah, about UFOs in the East Coast, Central, and Western U.S. So, well, that's about where I stood and how I got involved with UFOs, and it's been quite a ride since then. Let me tell you.
Oh, I bet.
Tom here, and I'm a big fan of yours, and thank you so much, Nicole, for having me on and guest host with you this episode. Tom, I've studied your books, and not only preparation from this, but I too have a podcast as well. And we do like to venture into UFOs because we sort of think right now we're in a new age, you know, after disclosure, after everything that happened last summer, you know, and we can certainly get to that point, but with what you found in your general interest in UFOs and with your military background, I've spoken with other military people as well who have seen some weird things, have been told, don't talk about it. How does that relate to you now? The disciplined and organizational nature of being in a service, and then how has that affected you now using that to research UFOs?
Ooh, that's a good question. Number one, I was never graced with seeing anything really unusual within the military. I was on a ship that went out every 4 months, and the rest of the time I was sitting in the dock repairing submarines that came alongside. So I really wasn't out there very much. Okay. I never had a good opportunity to see anything. But how did the military help me in putting things together? I believe that what they did was got the real me out of me. I was a pretty organized step one, step two, step three kind of person. And I also had a great deal of a truth telling there in my past. Like I would never go out of my way to say anything that was incorrect without being able to prove it. And that fit right in. After my time with the military and Honeywell, I'd fit right into working with UFOs. And to this day, I still won't say anything that I can't prove, or at least that I can't suggest might be true. But I'm going to tell you that it's my opinion. So it really did affect me. That was the actual effect right there.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And you mentioned something here, and this is what I wanted to say, because I say it on everywhere I go. That truth telling and that you know, being subjective to everything, that's your key in this field with this community, right? Because once you lose credibility amongst everybody in the community, you're done, especially with this, right? You're done. You know, we have to be more skeptical than the skeptic to our own community, because there are a lot of people that do fake things. Let's be honest. You know, there are a lot of people that are great on the computer. They can make a doctored image, a doctored video. So certainly with the military, I really respect that answer, because you having that credibility goes so much further than any, you know, regular person who might not have that. So that's something I definitely do respect about you. So thank you for that answer. Go ahead, Nicole.
Right, I hear somebody in the background. But it's all right. We have dogs too.
They want to be interviewed too.
Speaking of UFOs, what would be the very first encounter if you are willing to share?
What was the very first what?
UFO encounter.
That you did.
You mean my first sighting?
Yeah, or experience, yeah. Or
experience, okay. My first experience was... my dog's going nuts here. Doorbell rang. My first experience was I had a dream at night, and that dream was kind of weird. I found myself walking down this path, and it was the fall, and the path was covered with leaves, and I could feel the leaves on my feet. They were wet. And first of all, I know it's a dream because I would never go outside without socks on or at least shoes. And I'm walking down this path, and I found came upon this thing. It was really an egg-shaped craft, and there was somebody sitting outside of it, mm-hmm. and this person was made out of light.
Oh,
just made out of light. I mean, you could look sort of through them, and I don't have any other words to describe. He was just made out of light, and he asked me for my help. So I didn't know what to do. I said, "Okay, what do you need from me?" And he said, "We need for you to come onto this ship and assist one of my workers with me." And I said, "Well, I'm not a medical person. What do you want me to do?" He says, "All you need to do is stand next to them and let them borrow your energy, and they'll fix themselves." I thought, "Oh, this is interesting." Okay, yeah. So now this ship was about 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
It was about maybe 3.5 foot wide. It was on a little tripod sitting on the ground. And I was wondering how I was going to get into this thing because it was really so tiny.
Yeah, it looks small.
So I walked in. Yeah, I walked in through the door, and it was ginormous. It was the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I wondered how they did that. The thing just went on and on and on forever. So he walked me down the hallway and went to where his coworker was laying, and they told me to just stand there and let them borrow my energy, and I did. Yeah. And I
was it light too, or was it a body?
No, it was light.
It was light too. Okay.
Yeah, light also. Yeah, light. Yeah. And then he said, "Well, okay, my worker is healed. Let me take you back off the ship." And he escorted me back to the stairway, and I had to duck my head to go down outside, and I walked down the three steps. And then this thing took off, and that was the end of that. Yeah. So I walked back towards my home, and again, I could feel the leaves clinging to my feet. And then, boom, I woke up in my bed. And the first thing I did when I woke up in bed is I reached down to my feet, thinking there were still leaves attached to them.
Yeah.
I hate those feelings. Do you recall? If I may ask, do you recall what the beam's color actually was? Just pure light.
They were whitish blue.
Oh, okay.
And the ones that I've seen, that I've experienced, they were blue.
Mm-hmm.
I call the blue beams. They remind me of Avatar.
Okay. Well, let me think now. They were less blue than your description, but there was certainly a blue tinge to them.
Sort of like some type of headlights that we see now, right? That are very white, almost having a blue, like that?
Yes, very, very much like that.
Okay.
And you could sort of see a structure inside of the being. And
so like an outline.
Yeah. I mean, you could almost see a skeleton moving, you know, it was really strange. And I've never seen anything like it since. But for the longest time, I was wondering what they were trying to teach me with that. That was some sort of event that happened for my purposes, and I don't know what it was. And one day very recently, I woke up early in the morning, and it came to me that what they were doing was trying to tell me how easy it is for me to heal with my energy.
Wow.
Now, I've never tried. Yeah, I've never tried healing with my energy, but they were trying to tell me how easy it is.
Maybe you can do like Reiki healing, because that's what I can do too.
Yeah, well, very much like Reiki healing. I've never been involved with it, but the description that I've had of Reiki healing and doing what I did by just standing next to the guys, very, very similar.
Hmm. Did they ask you to like put your hands out or just stand there like arm just at your side?
That was it.
Hmm.
Very weird, very strange. Yeah. I've never had anything since that even rivaled that.
I can imagine. Yeah. But one thing I've noticed, it hasn't happened to me, so I don't want to say like from experience, but I've talked to a few individuals now who have had dreams that they attribute to an abduction scenario, just like what you've explained.
Yeah.
Many of them have reported sort of a connection that's still there that they can feel inside them. Now, I'm not talking about like a tracker or anything like that, but just a metaphysical connection with the spirit of another being. Do you have any of those feelings or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. In another event, I woke up in the middle of the night and saw two Native Americans walking through the wall. Oh. Walking through, well, I thought it was a door, and I didn't think too much about it, but they walked through this area and then came into where I was and walked up to me on both sides. They had something in their hand, not unlike a wand kind of thing. And they reached out and touched me in the middle of the chest, and boom, I was levitating. Uh-huh. And I woke up waking up in bed. So that was very weird. Why would they just show me the end of that? You know, I couldn't put it in my mind what the heck was going on until I started thinking through. Lying on my back, they came through the wall on the right. That's not where the wall, the door was in my room. It was on the left.
Oh.
So
literally they walked through a wall. There's no possible. Okay.
So where the heck was I? And then to add to that, not only that, I was sleeping in a queen size bed, and to my right was an empty section of the bed. My wife was sleeping in a recliner just to the right of that, and so they wouldn't have been able to walk up and walk through the bed, it doesn't seem like. So all I could say is I don't think I was in my bed.
I've heard of disguising your surroundings with a familiar thing. You know what I mean? A lot of times entities will visit you, or UFO, I should say, you know, entities will visit you in a familiar, right? Because they don't want you to be afraid. Yeah. Now, for Native American and you, do you have any fascination with history? Do you know, I'm trying to get to the bottom. Why would they pick that?
Very interesting. I had to do some soul searching to figure that one out.
Okay.
But in my book, They Are Here, Volume 2, that was about the central U.S., one of the things I came across was the Seven Fires prophecy. And it was a Native American prophecy. And I thought that was just so interesting. Perhaps I was still thinking about that right after the book was written. So maybe that was part of it. They thought that I would feel at home with a Native American. However, I am not Native American, at least in this life.
I was just going to ask, I know I'm part Cherokee.
And nothing. I have nothing.
Okay.
No, no other reason why that would have occurred, Tom. None.
So, and for the factual wise, what was on the other side of that wall? Was it from outside in, or was there another room on the other side of that wall?
Oh, okay. On the other side of the wall that I thought they came through was the outside.
Okay. All right. So from outside in, that would definitely lend, and we've heard all many, many different stories that would definitely lend to a UFO encounter. Yeah. The levitation, the taking on a different form than what it actually is. There's many out there that believe that we haven't seen a true alien yet, because what we see is either drones, clones, disguises, and all kinds of things like that. So it definitely, lends credibility to what you were saying in terms of that, and that you actually saw it. You know what I mean? So definitely interesting.
I believe that the actual extraterrestrials are operating at a different frequency, and it makes it very difficult for them to show themselves to us and for us to not be repelled by their
I think we're at third dimension. They can be at much higher dimension.
Yeah.
Right, to see even another angels and they're going to see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. True, Nicole. That's exactly it.
So, I have to ask, have any of the members of your family experienced anything, or just yourself?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't understand you. What?
Have any of the members of your family experienced anything other than yourself, the UFOs?
Okay. No. No one. Zero.
Oh, really?
All the way back. No one ever admitted to anything to me. And by the way, my first event didn't happen until after I was retired and started writing about extraterrestrials.
Okay. Do you think maybe that helped open you up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The first thing that I really did was saw a ghost, actually, on several different occasions. And I think that's what opened me up. And then I started thinking and writing about extraterrestrials. And then, the door was opened wide then.
It's like they know, they can read our thoughts. Because after I submitted my first UFO book, mm-hmm. I've seen the UFO craft out here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they've managed to film it.
They absolutely know what we're doing. And
scary thought.
As a matter of fact, I have a story for you about CE5. Mm-hmm. CE5, I think you guys do know about it, but for those who don't, it's a meditation protocol where a bunch of people get together and all meditate on bringing in a ship or having them show themselves in some major event.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one night I went to sleep thinking about how I was going to find a CE5 group so that I could go to one of these events.
Yeah.
Because I was hoping to see a UFO in some regard before I died. You know, I mean, I was really anxious. Well, this is towards the very end of my first book that I published, They Are Here, Volume 1. This is toward the very end of it. And so I woke up in the morning with this thought in my head, groups not needed, ask. Just four words. That was it. Just four words. Someone said mm-hmm. that to me, and it popped into my head. Groups not needed, ask. So I thought for a while, what are they talking about? And realized that last night, the night previous, that I had been thinking about a CE5 getting together with a CE5 group, and mm-hmm. I was wondering how I was going to find them. And I got my answer early in the morning, group not needed, ask. So I started asking. And lo and behold, right after I finished my first book and I was ready to upload that into Amazon, I saw my first group of UFOs. There were 9 of them. And they were balls of fire in the mm-hmm. air, just mm-hmm. on fire. And they all did the exact same maneuver in the sky. And so after I had been asking, I saw that in a very short period of time. And so I started asking all the time. Well, my next sighting didn't occur until after I had finished my second book, They Are Here, Volume 2. This is the one about the Native American link.
Mm-hmm.
And at that period of time, I saw a sighting in the air that happened to be it happened to be an explosion of red light across the sky. Wow. It was very bright. And out of the middle of this explosion of light came this white streak that headed off and disappeared over the horizon. And by the time I looked back to see where this explosion of light was, if it happened to still be there, it was already gone. So the whole thing took about, less than 2 seconds.
Wow.
And I would have missed it, absolutely missed it. But as I was looking out over the horizon, and I was at a beautiful place at a lake in New Hampshire. And I heard in my voice and in my head, a voice in my head, look up.
I looked up too,
and
right there.
Boom, there it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to look up because I know they'll be right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an incredible story that you guys can pick up on that communication. I would love that. Now, Tom, reading a little bit about your bio and everything, you've studied these East Coast, West Coast, Central, all over, right? Where would be an underrated hotspot, would you say?
Underrated. Okay.
Yeah.
There's actually quite a few of them.
Okay.
Number one, in the northwest corner of Arkansas and the northeast corner of Oklahoma, right in that area. There's a lot of lakes, pretty deep lakes, and some very unique mountainous area. And that's one area that I think is probably very underrated. Let's see, what else?
So those conjoining areas. Now, is that geography? Help me out. Is that's Ozark area or?
Yes, it is. It is. Okay, the gotcha. Ozark Mountains. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Now the next area that I think is really worth mentioning is the mountains in western North Carolina,
like Asheville area.
Yeah, that border on Tennessee.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and to the south is South Carolina. Yep. That little group right in that area, there are a tremendous amount of sightings there. Tremendous. And see,
that's wonderful. I had no idea about those areas. Did you, Nicole?
Here in California, too.
Yep. Well, the whole state of California is crazy. Yeah. But not so much. Yeah, not so much Los Angeles, but out in the desert, southeast of Los Angeles, that's also a pretty interesting area. It's out where the military base is out there, 29 Palms, I think.
Oh, okay.
Right out in the desert. There's some stuff that's seen out there that boggles the mind. And the military sees it all the time. And, of course, they're told not to talk about it.
Right.
Well, yeah, that blanket of national security.
Yep.
You know, that's a big blanket, I should say.
And the fourth area I think is worth mentioning is in the northwest corner of Washington State.
Okay.
Right in the north of Seattle, out in the water, up towards the border of Canada.
Okay.
That's crazy up there.
Isn't there a nuclear submarine base up around that area?
Yes, I believe.
I'm not. Yeah, because some of it was reported in, you know, in southeast Alaska, Ketchikan, you know what I mean? And then in that area, that water area, you know, that just reminded me of that as well. That, you know, there's a lot of military activity, I should say, up that way.
I can't remember the name of the base.
Oh, CFAC. I think that's what it's called.
What is it?
CFAC, SEAFAC.
Seattle Pacific. No. Okay. No, there was another name. I was almost sent there when I was in the military, but instead I was sent to the USS Fulton in Connecticut. And I almost ended up there on the West Coast.
Opposite end.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how about the Area 51 place? I bet there'd be a lot of sightings.
Well, there's not a lot of population there.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the things that are seen are around areas where there's a lot of people.
Yes.
Because if there's no people, then no one's going to report them. So
can I, I'm sorry, Tom, can I float a theory about Area 51 on here? I think Area 51 is a very good decoy to keep that place there. I don't believe many, many things are going on there. I think the true nature of military bases and handling material, they're going to keep Area 51 out there for everyone to look at. But I think more material has probably passed through Nellis to the north and Wright Pat in Ohio than actually Area 51. But I think they'll keep it open because it has that name, right? It has that name of secrecy. Mm-hmm. And so if I can make you look here and do all my stuff like here, you know what I mean? I think that's where that's just my personal theory about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was moved from there to Wright Pat, of course.
Yep.
You're absolutely right about that one. But to an area that is just west of Salt Lake City. And to the east of that is Hill Air Force Base. And there's a lot of strange things going on there, too. And I can't remember the name of that area.
How about Skinwalker Ranch? I'm sure there's a lot there.
Yeah, Skinwalker's out to the east of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of strange things in northern Utah.
Right? Yeah,
yeah, lots of strange things.
It's almost to the point, Tom, you could throw a dart at a map and you'll hit something that has some sort
something.
Of
paranoia.
Yeah.
Something, yeah.
It's weird. Like every time I watched an episode, I was experiencing some paranormal activity. Certainly after.
I mean, it's owned. I don't know if Bigelow still owns it or if the government owns it. I forget who it is now, but there's a lot of people with big money that want to buy that property or just bought that property, I should say. Yeah. The TV show that you see is just the tip of this iceberg. And I mean the tip of the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
If you read stories and articles and reports, some of the things that go on there are nuts. And that's just to put it nicely.
Mm-hmm.
I have
another question I've been meaning to ask. If we see a UFO like we do here, how would you approach share it or to let others know and how we share what we've seen? Like, do they have a website for UFO sightings?
Okay. For
that specific area.
Yeah.
How would you approach that?
Okay. Well, I would tell people to call the Mutual UFO Network and to call, and I think you can do this via the computer. You can do both of them, actually. It's called the National UFO Reporting Center.
911, right?
Yeah, you can write. Yeah, you can write a long description. And put that in into the National UFO Reporting Center, and no one will really question you about it. But with MUFON, quite frequently they will either send someone out to investigate, or they'll at least call you on the phone and try to get some particulars about your particular.
What if you have video also?
You can put video on both of them, I believe.
Yep, I believe you can. Yep.
I have quite a few videos on my YouTube channel.
Tom, I'm a member of MUFON as well. So I know about the database that anybody, you know, if you're a member, you can go look at. I haven't been able to hop on there. Have you lately? It seems like they took it down. So I don't know if that would hinder anybody to.
I don't know. I believe you can still report to MUFON. I don't think that's changed. But as far as the database goes, I believe that if you're a member, you can ask specifics. In other words, search their database for something and come up with the result of your search.
But as of lately, the whole database has been taken down. The page is blank.
Oh,
but
really?
Before, okay. Yeah, but before, say I wanted to look up the last 10 UFO reports around Philadelphia. I don't know, you know, in a 50-mile, you can go there, you can search for Pennsylvania and look at Philadelphia and go that way. It was such a wonderful tool for us amateur, you know, ufologists and even professional ufologists, you know, to get some idea and feedback of things that are happening. Because one thing that I'll note, it's not there right now. I'm sure it'll come back. But one thing that I've noticed is, if you have a sighting in one area, let's say Philadelphia, you'll see that same day there'll be two or three other ones from a nearby town, you know, a suburb or a city that's just down the road. And that's what lends credibility to some of these sightings more so, is that it's not just one person in Philadelphia saw it. Someone 10 miles away saw the same thing. And someone, you know what I mean? Maybe 5 miles away in the opposite direction, though, they saw the same thing too.
And that happens very, very frequently. You won't find so much of that unless you're really good with a particular geography of where you're searching. You won't notice that within the National UFO Reporting Center, because it'll just have the name of a town. And unless you knew what the names were and where they were with respect to each other, you wouldn't be able to tell that they're right next to each other.
No, you wouldn't. You could look at a mapping software, or you could just open another browser and type in the town and then the next town on the same day and see if they're closely related. That's more so what I do, because if I saw, on March 10th, there was these three ones in Pennsylvania and I type them in, are they near each other? You know what I mean? Or is one here, one there, and one's there? What I mean? So you kind of have to do your own little more extra homework too with it. But it's definitely a wonderful resource, because, you know, Nicole, you're right. How many people would call 911 to report a UFO when that's actually not what you're supposed to do?
When was it? Las Vegas? Or supposedly
Las Vegas called the police. You're right.
Alien was in their backyard.
yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they used to do that all the time because there wasn't any resources. But now there happens to be, so there's going to be less calls to the police, but they're still going to call.
They will. I mean, especially if you're scared and maybe your idea is not alien first off the bat, right? You might think somebody's breaking in. By all means, call the police.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, but no, I remember, that they had dash cam footage, right? They had the 911 dispatch or the audio to the police and also the call coming in. That was a wild situation for everybody involved. And I don't know. I just think there's going to be more of that in the near future. But, you know, again, Tom, you know, great answer. And to your point, there are two separate things. And I think if they could all funnel into one, that'd be great. But I think the more availability you have to people, I think the more calls you're going to get. It's as simple as that.
They both have to be advertised better. Don't have the resources to put their name and whatever else into all the publications and on TV and everything. They don't have the budgets for that. I wish they did, because we would have much better collection of sightings that you could do research on.
I absolutely think that you're exactly right. It has to come down to the funding, right? That's what it is.
Especially move on, with
volunteer, you know.
Yeah. Especially with the technology that we have today, our cell phones, we can take pictures or video right away. Is there a particular equipment that you would recommend for us amateurs?
Right. Imagine a MUFON app where you're like, I want to report a UFO now. You hit a button, your camera can open up so you can, you know what I mean, take a picture or whatever. Just so technology needs to catch up to in that regard as well. You know, we can come up with better cameras, we can come up with better sound recording, we can come up with all kinds of different gadgets and tools and all of that. But if you can't get from me to other people, what good is it? You know what I mean? You have to build that bridge.
Yep. Right. Yep. You have to create the database in order for people to do the research on.
You're right.
If you don't, then your call is going nowhere for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let me make a poor analogy here, but the first person to ever write a newspaper, how good is it if nobody can read? You know what I mean? You have to get it available and have people be able to interpret your data. You know what I mean? In a cleaner, better way. So people can make their own decisions. And I'm not trying to sit here and say this will make everybody believe. No, probably far from it. But as long as you can put it in front of their face, then you allow them to make their own decision. And that's, I think, most of what we're trying to ask here in the UFO community.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I really wish that there were a central depository that that was free and known to everyone. But there isn't. There just isn't. And we're stuck with the interpretation of what's seen in the sky with what the national news says. And they will be relegated to the last 30 seconds of the show, along with a lot of snickering.
Yeah, absolutely. You've seen footage. You've seen different news articles. You've seen how it is. Until you can get the raw video in somebody's hand and allow you, Tom Conwell, here's a video. You make your own decision without me telling you, Nicole, whoever. Until we can get there, we're fighting uphill while handcuffed.
Yep. Yep.
And they're always shaky videos anyway, and how can you analyze those kind of footages, you know, when they're always shaky?
I hear you, but something's better than nothing, right?
True,
We can work on stabilization, and, you know, we do have cell phones in our pocket, and our arm is only as good as our arm, right? So, like, we don't have a mount or anything like that.
Or something weird.
But I think that lends more credibility. Yeah. I'll make that argument that it lends more credibility because it is somebody's hand. If this was a perfectly still shot, people might think that this is fake, doctored, at least enhanced, right?
And it's so easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with the AI technology now.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, Nicole. With the AI technology, you can put your image in and say, add this to that. We're not far off.
Yep.
They could do the same thing with paranormal. Add those. They add a location, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've, you know, I still do paranormal investigations for a local cemetery, right? And I'll get the friend who doesn't want to come along, who wants to ask and say, couldn't that, you know, couldn't this be that? And you have to take it with a grain of salt, because I can't sit here. And that's the point of this, as us in the community, we can't sit here and say, I know for 100% certainty, this is that. I can tell you for 100% certainty what I've seen. I can tell you 100% certainty stories that other people have said. But at the end of the day, it's your decision to believe or not.
It's the same as being a psychic like myself. Yeah, I know I always get some hit and misses. So I'm only human, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're not sitting there claiming I'm 100% right every time, right?
Right.
Because you know how it goes.
I'll never do that.
Yeah. You know how it goes. I've been fooled by things before in the sky or in the paranormal realm. I'm not batting 1,000, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you I am.
All right, Tom, I know we have a few minutes left. Tom, hello. I know I have two Toms. Yeah. Have you ever had any more experiences with those UFOs or beings since the last one you experienced?
Any more experiences with one?
Like with the one previous... you had with the Indian and the...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not really. Okay. I wrote everything down from the book that Anna wrote about me.
Oh, Anna. You didn't hear that.
The only thing that happened to me after that I thought was highly unusual is that, yeah, there we go, night visitors. The only thing that happened that was unusual was one morning I woke up and I went over and sat on the edge of the bed and was talking to my wife, and she said, "What happened to your eye?" And I went, "Well, I don't know. What's wrong with my eye?" She says, "It's all black." So what the heck was that? So I went into the bathroom immediately and looked, and from the half of my eye all the way over to my ear, up to and not including the ear, was all black. And I don't know what that is. I was going to give a speech about 4 days after that, and all I could think of was, oh, this is going to be a real problem because people are going to be wondering what happened to my eye, so I'm going to have to explain something. It was gone by noon. Now, if you've ever had a bump in the eye or something like that with a black and blue, it will turn purple and turn yellow and turn every color under the sun. And it'll go for weeks, you know, and it'll go into smaller and smaller pieces, but it'll be there for weeks. This was gone within about 3 hours. The whole side of my face was black.
Yeah, some of the marks don't last forever. They might become stars, but they're not as visible. For me, anyway.
Yeah.
So,
is there anything else you'd like to share with us, you guys?
Yes. Where can we find your books and everything?
Okay. The books are all available on Amazon. I write under the name Thomas W. Conwell.
Okay.
And everything is available there. And I'm also available on Facebook. And you look up my address on Facebook is Tom.Conwell.3. Tom.Conwell.3. And you can throw me a friend request and tell me that you heard me here. And I make lots of different reports about what I'm seeing and what I'm being told at night. And it seems to be an ongoing dialogue between somebody up there and me. And I'm always posting about things.
Well, I just sent you an ad.
Oh, okay.
Can I ask one more quick question? Yeah. What are your thoughts and insights about crop circle?
Oh, crop circle. I think that for the most part, crop circles are made by ships that we don't understand.
Okay.
Not all of them, but for the most part, the really, really intense ones, and they're made overnight, and they're made through the energy disbursement of some ships we don't yet understand. Now, these ships may be extraterrestrial, but they may also be interdimensional.
True.
Right.
We don't know.
Yep.
I have a theory about one.
What's that?
One that's in, what do you call it, a Stonehenge?
Mm-hmm.
What if the Stonehenge is built right on top of the old crop circle?
Maybe. Maybe it's hiding it.
Could be. Yeah, everything's over in England. There's lines of energy all over the place that they were certainly aware of many, many, many years ago. I don't know how they became aware of them, but even today, there's cities are built along these same lines from Northwestern Great Britain all the way down to Greece, all on the same line.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think they've always been here. We're just now in the technology, right? We're just now seeing them visually in videos and cameras.
Yep. I think so too. I think so too.
Any final thoughts for you like to share with us? I see your dog right there.
Yeah, that's Cujo.
Cujo.
Yeah.
I appreciate the Stephen King reference.
Yeah.
They, awesome. Yeah.
Her name is Chrissy, but believe me, you wake her up, she's a Cujo.
Oh, fair
yeah.
enough. Tom, thank you so much for being on. I've learned a lot. I added you, and I'll be in touch certainly in the future.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for having me. It was a great deal of fun. Thank you, Nicole,
for inviting me back. Thank you for being with us.
Okay. Yes. And we'll see you guys soon. Yep.
All right. Wonderful.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for being with us. I do appreciate your help. And you're always welcome back. And so this will be on replay. And I'll share the other links once this is loaded up.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
You guys stay safe out there.
You too.
Okay. Bye now.
Thank you. All right. Thank you guys for watching and listening to, I have to say this title right. I keep changing my title. Psychic Seer Podcast, and I'm your host, Nicole Jasper, and we were talking with Tom Conwell, ufologist and forensic specialist, and my co-host, Tom Payne. So thank you guys so much. Have a great and safe day and or evening, where you guys are listening from. Let us know. All right. You can stay here afterwards if you like, Tom, and we'll see you guys next week. And that will be with Tom in the interview, the other Tom.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much. All right. Peace out.
Okay.
Bye, guys.